James chapter 4, if you would, please. James chapter number 4. Music has just been wonderful today. Thank you, Pastor Brew, and all those that put time into that. What a blessing that is. Been in James chapter 4 a couple of weeks now. We looked at verses 4, 5, and 6 last week. This morning, we'd like to just try to tackle one verse this morning. Verse 7 of James chapter 4 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." This is an interesting passage of Scripture in James. In this section of James, from verses 7 through verse 10, there are 10 commands. Every one of these commands have a sense of urgency about them. This is not a casual thing, but there's some real umph to them, if you will. This has got to happen, and it's got to happen quickly. Two of them are in our text today. Submit yourselves, resist the devil. It's possible to obey without submitting. Obedience is an outward action while submission is an inward action. I guess we could say attitude. God calls us not just to obey, but also to submit. I'm sure you've heard the story of the little boy. His mother ordered him to sit in a corner. After a couple of minutes of sitting, he told his mother, "I'm sitting down on the inside, but I'm standing up on the sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." He obeyed, but he didn't submit. Unfortunately, there are many of us, when it comes to our relationship with God, we're doing what he said on the outside, but on the inside, we're rebelling. And then we wonder why we're constantly being defeated by the enemy. People love to separate these two. Matter of fact, you hear people pretty consistently quote, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." That's not the totality of it. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So this morning, I'd like us to see this central thought as we look at this text of Scripture. You must submit to God, or you will submit to the devil by default. I'll say that again. You must submit to God, or you will submit to the devil by default. It's really easy for us to say, "Well, look, I'm not really into this God thing, but I'm certainly not into the devil thing either." You understand, that are the two options. You are either submitting to God or you're submitting to the devil. You don't have your own plan. People think they do. I have my own plan. No, you don't. You're either following what the devil has or you're following what God has. Now, those are strong words, I know, but the Word of God bears that out. We're going to look at three things this morning. First off, we'll see the contrast in the passage. There are two personalities. Then we're going to see the commands in the passage. There are two perspectives. And then we'll look at the consequences in the passage. There are two promises. Let's pray together. Father, how we need you this morning. Apart from you, we're absolutely worthless. We know that if we abide in the vine, then you abide in us and we can bring forth fruit, but without you, we can do nothing. So we pray this morning that you would take your word and apply it. May we be fair to Scripture, and may your Spirit apply it to our hearts and lives. In your name we pray. Amen. First off, the contrast in the passage, two personalities. We see, first off, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's one of our personalities. And the second one, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So we have God and the devil in the passage of Scripture. And I've already mentioned that those are our options. You will serve one of those. You will either find yourself submitting to the will of God or you'll find yourself submitting to the will of the devil. I wish this morning that we could do a complete study on the theology on God proper. you understand, nobody knows that all anyway, right? We couldn't possibly get to all of that. But I'd like us to take the Word of God and turn to one significant passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, if we could please. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'd like for us to read a little bit of a lengthy section of Scripture, but it tells us a lot about our God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he, God, quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Every one of us in this room were born sinners. Every one of us were already born under the condemnation of God. We were born into sin. That's who we are. We like to consider ourselves overall good people, but the fact is the Bible says that we're not. We're in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. There's the other personality in the passage. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Every one of us in this room, even if you know Christ as your Savior this morning, at one point this described you. You walked after the lust of the flesh. You fulfilled the desires of the flesh. And you were by natural nature, just your very nature, you're the children of wrath. Verse 4, but God. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy. What a wonderful truth that is about our God. For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He's made us alive. And how did he do that? By placing us in Christ. For by grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not only did he save us from our sins, praise the Lord, but he let us be joint heirs with him. We get to sit with him in the heavenly places. That in the ages to come, this is not just a temporary thing, this is an eternal thing. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you can do to earn your way to heaven. Can't happen. It doesn't even make logical sense that if you could work your way to heaven, why did Jesus come and die? He came and died on the cross of Calvary because no one in this room had the ability in and of themselves to get to heaven. But can I tell you, he wants us there. You say, who? Everybody. God wants everyone there. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, the flesh made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. You ever felt hopeless? Without God, the world is hopeless. And without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. The world's desperately looking for peace. It's found in Jesus. The world's desperately looking for answers. It's found in Jesus. Broken lives are looking to be put back together. It's found in Jesus. I've said over and over again the last few weeks, but it is so true. The problem is sin. The answer is Jesus Christ. That's the first personality in the passage of Scripture. But there's a second one mentioned. Resist the devil. Again, we could spend a lot of time talking about him, but let me give you just one passage of Scripture. John 8 and verse 44. You have your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Can I put that in real, real simple terms? When he opens his mouth, he's lying. Plain and simple. He doesn't even know truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus creates life. Jesus gives abundant life. Satan can only destroy. He can only destroy. That's what he'd love to do with your life. That's what he'd love to do, to just tear us apart. One author has said, anyone who does not belong to Christ is a child of the devil. Each of us believes the lie of the devil. I won't have you raise your hand because I wouldn't want to cause you to lie, but if I ask you the question this morning, how many of you at one point in your life believed the lie of the devil? If you were honest, everybody in this room would put his hand up. We've believed it. But notice what this author continues. This is the essence of sin, trusting the devil while mistrusting God. You say, well, can you prove that? Sure, let's go to the very first sin. Did Eve choose to believe the devil rather than God? Absolutely. The devil said, yea, hath God said? Are you sure, Eve? I mean, because here, really what God's doing is, God's really trying to take you out of something that'd be great. He just doesn't want you to enjoy life. That's what he said to Eve. And Eve believed him rather than God. And she took of the fruit. The master you choose to serve makes a big difference. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Pastor, I'm neutral this morning. My friend, no, you're not. You are not neutral. Not a person in this room is neutral. You say, well, I'll just go with my default. Then you're a child of the devil, according to the Word of God. That's your default. You were born that way. You say, well, that's pretty mean. Can I tell you that's the kindest thing I can tell you because of the truth of the Word of God? I'm not going to help you to blind yourself to the truth of what's taking place. So we've seen the contrast in the passage, two personalities. Now let's look at the commands in the passage, two perspectives. The first, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. The first thing is to relinquish or submit. To relinquish or submit. The fact is, the word submit means that I give up what I think is right. The fact is, we don't have to submit. It's not really called submission, let's say it this way, when you already want to do it. Right? When you have to submit is when you think there's a better path, but someone says, no, you're going to do this way, and you have to say, okay, I give up. I'll do it that way. The word really means to arrange under or to subordinate, to subject, to obey, to submit to one's control. In other words, we let God have his way. Completely, totally. It's a very interesting statement, and I don't want to overburden you today, but it is in the passive mood in the Greek language. And typically that would mean that we don't do anything, we just let God do it. But there is an element in this passage in which you do something. But can I tell you that you cannot submit to God on your own? The Spirit of God works in you to accomplish that. But by the way, it's a command. God is telling you to do it. Let yourself be in subjection to God. Robertson says this, there is a note of urgency in this command. This is an absolute command requiring full obedience on the part of all who hear. So this morning, if you choose to walk out of those doors and you not submit yourself to God, you are in disobedience to Him. One author said this, God sets himself in array against the proud. Remember last week's message, God resisteth the proud but giveth grace unto the humble. God, full armor against the proud. Therefore, array yourself under God that he may withstand the devil. Submission to God is the opposite of hostility toward God, another author says. And we've talked about this hostility in verses 1 through 6. Your enmity against God. God says, just submit. Just submit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You know what the Word of God tells us? You and I don't want to submit. It's built in us. And you know that. Soon as someone says to you, don't look out the left-hand side of the window, what do you all want to do? Your natural tendency is to go, what? Right? Oh, a number of years ago, we were in New York City on a mission trip. And you can see some interesting things in New York City. Very interesting. And I won't give you a mental picture of what we saw because it's not worth that. But it was something that you would not want to see. And I saw it, and I'm thinking, oh boy. So I said to everybody on the bus, don't look left on the bus. And then I heard people going, oh, that's gross. I'm like, how do you know that if you didn't look left, right? It's built within us to do exactly the opposite of what people tell us to do. That's what God is saying. Romans 10 and verse 3 says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. God says, submit yourself. Now, quickly this morning, I'd like us to look at four things that submission demonstrates, at least four. There's many more in the Word of God, but these four, I think we could put everything underneath it. So let's quickly go through these. Submission demonstrates at least four things. Number one, submission demonstrates humility. Humility. Remember verse 5 of this passage? Do not think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. And then he says, for he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. We're going to reference this verse over and over again this morning because it is so integral to what James is saying. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be in subjection or subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Submission demonstrates humility. When you bow your back up because someone told you what to do, all you're demonstrating is that you're a person filled with pride. You say, well, I don't like that. Join the crowd. I don't like it either. But it's the truth of us. Is your lack of submission pointing to a pride problem in your life? Number two, submission to earthly authorities recognizes God's authority in our lives. I'll say that again. Submission to earthly authorities recognizes God's authority in our lives. There are many passages, but I'll just reference one. Romans 13. 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. That means everyone that's in authority, specifically he's referring to governmental authority, but every power that God puts over us, it's of God. Notice what he says, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Friends, this morning, when you are resistant to authority, you're ultimately being resistant to God. In other words, you cannot be in submission to God and not be in submission at school. You cannot be in submission to God and not be in submission to your parents. You cannot be in submission to God, we can just start filling in the blank. Your boss at work, whatever. Are you demonstrating that you are in charge? You're in charge. Or will you recognize God's complete control over authority? Well, the authority's wrong. How many of you have ever had an authority be wrong? Everybody in this room. How many of you as an authority has ever been wrong? That's going to happen too, right? That's not the point. The point is, God says, submit. Do you trust that God can take care of that situation? Is God in control or is he not? Does he need you to rectify it or can he do it on his own? You afraid to answer or are you just kind of contemplating this morning? The third principle, submission is mutual in a servant relationship. Submission is mutual in a servant relationship. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Again, we're referencing this again. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. We like that, right? Yeah, them kids need a submission. Yea, all of you be in subjection or subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. Oh. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Men, we like 5:22, don't we? Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Amen.
Forget 21. Can I read it again? Thank you. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submission is mutual in a servant relationship. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Do you demand submission without demonstrating it yourself? Maybe the reason why people underneath you are struggling with submission to your authority is because you've demonstrated that you're not willing to submit to your authority. Maybe your kids break the law because you break the law. Maybe your kids are smart aleck to you because you're smart aleck to your boss. See the connection? Number four. Submission demonstrates an understanding of roles. Submission demonstrates an understanding of roles. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's a role that God has placed us in. And submission demonstrates that you understand why God's placed you there. Are you inferior? No. This is the role that God has placed for you. 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be subject to your masters. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable to you. Do you know, one of the sobering truths of pastoring a church is that we're going to stand before God as pastors to give an account for you. And I tell you how desperate we want to do that with joy. We want to do it with joy. Do you trust God in the role He has planned for your life? Do you trust God for the role He's planned for your life? Or do you think you need to get outside of that role because God obviously goofed up this time? Submission. As we transition to the latter part of the verse, I want to read a couple of statements because these are powerful. One author said, virtually by definition, to submit to God, your new Lord, is to resist the devil, your old Lord. It's a powerful thought. Another said, when we submit ourselves to God, that leaves the devil face to face with Him. Wow. So that leads us then to the second point, and that's resist. Resist. So we've seen relinquish or submit. Now we see resist, or what I've called stonewall. And I'll get to why I said that in just a moment. The word resist means to set oneself against, to resist, to oppose, or to withstand. If you could get a word picture, it would be to plant your heels, dig them in deep, and you're not moving. Put concrete around my boots. I'm not budging from this location. Not happening. It's interesting when you study some Civil War history. Stonewall Jackson got his name from that very idea. Men said, there he sits like a stone wall. He's not moving. Where he's told to be, that's where he's going to be. That's the idea behind this. Again, going back to that passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, but let's look at a larger little bit of it. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Notice how many of these subjects in James and 1 Peter are intertwined. The word steadfast means to strongly or immovably or stubbornly stand. One of my favorite Christian movies is the movie Facing the Giants. I love that movie. Number one, I love football. But if you'll remember in that movie, the coach and them of transformations take place. Guys are getting right with God. And they're in the final game, state championship, and the opposing team is now on the one-yard line, about to score. They score, they win. The captain of the defense comes over and says, "Coach, I'm done. I've given all I can get. Give." And he said, "No, you haven't. I need four more downs. Four more downs." He said, "This is for the championship. Anybody can lead when things are going okay. It's when things are tough that I need somebody to lead." And so he runs back on the field, and if you've seen the movie, matter of fact, this week as I was studying, I went back to make sure I had it right. He gets there, and it's just about first down. And all of a sudden, the captain of the defense and the coach on the sideline starts yelling something. What did he yell? Stonewall. Stonewall! Stonewall! Hey, I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what this text is talking about. It's saying, hey, don't give an inch to the devil. You may think he's going to win, but I'm going to tell you he's not going to win. Plant your feet. Stand solidly. Don't move. It's exactly what God's saying. And he says it throughout the Word of God. One author said, after salvation, he comes again and again through the world system, working on the flesh. But he can be defeated repeatedly by the believer who has the sword of the Spirit and the rest of the armor of God. Matter of fact, let's turn to Ephesians 6, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 6. We don't have time to break all this passage down, but I want you to notice some things that the Word of God says about this. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, or as the old country preacher said, against the willies of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have an enemy. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. You think God's trying to tell us something? Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking this shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You say, "Pastor, all this armor, what does it all mean?" Can I tell you, you need the Word, you need the Word, you need the Word. Where's the truth come from? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Where do we get the gospel from? It's the Word of God. Where does righteousness come from? It's the Word of God. Over and over again. How do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, folks, I know we've said it a lot, but you cannot survive in this world without this book. You can't survive in this world if you only get this book on Sundays and Wednesdays. You need it every day of the week. You need to wake up in the morning and dive into it, because there's an enemy out there ready to destroy. How much of a stone wall have you built against the devil? What can you do today to build that stone wall? An unmovable. I'm not moving. God has claimed the victory of this ground, and I'm standing right here. So we've seen the contrast in the passage. Two personalities. Who do you want to serve? The commands in the passage, two perspectives: submit, resist. Or we could say relinquish and resist, or submit and stonewall. Number three, the consequences in the passage, two promises. The first promise is the grace of God. You say, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor. The grace of God's not in this passage. I'm sorry. Submit yourselves." What's the next word? Therefore. Therefore means we must need to go back and look what it's there for, right? What did we just finish preaching last week? How do we get the grace of God? By humbling ourselves. The grace of God comes pouring in, as we mentioned last week. It has no limit. No limit whatsoever. The grace of God. By submitting to God, you and I are demonstrated humility, which brings the grace. But the second aspect is the idea of he will flee from you. The devil will flee from you. The word flee is interesting. It means to flee away or to seek safety by flight. Now, don't you love that mental picture? I mean, I love it. When you think about the enemy, now listen, we're not being cocky or brash. It's only because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ and what he's done in our lives. But don't you love to see the devil running away? Man, how do we get that? You can't have it unless you're willing to submit. Can't have it. You can't have it unless you're willing to stand, unless you're willing to stonewall, to plant your feet and say, hey, look, I'm not moving. I'm going to be right here. You know, the power of the devil originally lay in man's fall in the garden, where man was in bondage to sin, having paid for sin now. Jesus broke his power. He is defeated. It's not he will be defeated. He is defeated. He is right now defeated. Now I want to tell you, he's going kicking and screaming, but he's already whooped. He knows it very clearly. What he thought was his greatest victory, I finally killed the Son of God, was his greatest defeat. Because on the cross of Calvary, Jesus not only died, but he rose again. And he's victorious. And he took the keys of death and hell with him. Praise the Lord. He, the devil, is no match for the matchless power of God. He's no match. What would you be willing to do to get an abundance of grace in your life and the devil running from you? It's in the text. Submit to God. But he's going to ask me to do something I don't like. Yep. That's what submission is. Submission means I have to do some things that I can't see clearly. Submission means, boy, I don't know. Boy, it looks like this over here, but you're sure you want me to go this way? That's what submission is. We have to relinquish everything to God and resist with everything the devil. That's what God's telling us to do. If you've never submitted to God by admitting that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ wants to cleanse you from your sin. The enemy would love to convince you that you don't need to do it today, but the Word of God says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You're like, well, I got tomorrow. You don't know that, friend. Nobody in this room is guaranteed of tomorrow. Nobody. And the devil can convince you to wait a little bit, then he may have you in his grasp. But I can tell you, you can surrender to God and still win. What a great deal that is. If you know Jesus as your Savior, are you submitting to him in your daily life? Christian, do you let God have his way in your hearts and lives? God desires to do a work in our heart. And if you'll let him, he'll do it. A.W. Tozer said, the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work within our lives. You don't get to give orders. You don't get to give orders. Many of you that are older in the room remember Tiananmen Square. Those of you that are younger probably have read about it in your history books. I was in the United States Marine Corps at the time, and I actually was stationed in Okinawa, Japan. We got called into a room one day, and there was a U.S. ambassador that was trapped in the square, and they were beginning the initial plans of putting Marines into Tiananmen Square to get the ambassador out. Sitting in that room were 300 of us Marines. They estimated 200 of us wouldn't come home. They were going to strafe the square and then fast rope us into Tiananmen Square. We can put 60 Marines on the ground in 45 seconds out of a chopper. But getting us out was another problem. As they walked through the process of this is a possibility for us, we had a guy in my unit raise his hand and say, "Sir, I have a question. That seems kind of foolish to sacrifice 200 men's lives for one man's life." And the person that was in charge of that room, I don't remember his rank, but he clearly outranked the rest of us, said to us, "We don't get a choice. You, Marine, are expendable." Now, I had some family at home that probably argue with him at the time. But the fact is, when I signed a contract in the United States Marine Corps, I signed my life away. They can do what they won't. I signed to defend this country up to my life. I tell you, friend, when you sign up to serve God, you give Him everything. The wonderful truth is, He's got it all planned out. The fact is, there were guys guessing on what we would face when we hit Tiananmen Square. God's not guessing. He knows exactly what's going on. You're like, "Yeah, but I don't understand why God made that decision." Great, I don't understand it either. But I can tell you, He knows exactly what He's doing. Exactly what He's doing. And He's trustworthy, because the other option is a liar every time He opens His mouth. And those are your two options. Who today will you seek to serve? Father, how we need this text of Scripture. Lord, I must admit, my old flesh, man, it fights sometimes to submit. I think I've got things figured out my own way, and I want to do it my own way. But, Lord, we have to submit to You, and then we have to resist. We have to plant our feet and tell the devil he's not going to win. He's already defeated. Thank You, Lord, for defeating him on the cross of Calvary, and when You burst through with the tomb no longer containing You. What a precious truth that is. Now, Lord, it is Your Spirit's job to convict and woo hearts. We've tried to be faithful to preach the Word. Would You now work in lives? And we'll ask You to do that part. May Your Word accomplish that which You please and prosper to the thing whereunto You send it. And we'll thank You for it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet just for a moment? No one looking around. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if you've not been here before, so that you won't be confused. On my right, Pastor Caleb Champlin, who is our youth pastor, is standing. And on my left, one of our deacons, Bob Christensen, is here. If you have a need spiritually, these men would love to help you. They'd love to get you to someone who can answer your questions. Maybe you say today, "Pastor, the truth is I've never submitted myself to Jesus as Savior. I don't know Him as my Savior. But I'd sure like to get some things answered this morning." Can I tell you, the Word of God has the answers. Jesus loves to fix broken lives. And if you'll come to Him, He will in no wise cast you out. Christian, perhaps you need some help today. And if so, they can help you. But maybe you already know exactly what God wants to do in your heart. We got plenty of room here at the altar for you to kneel before God. "Well, I don't know if I want to do that." Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Maybe you're being defeated because you're not submitting. The instruments are going to immediately begin to play. Would you come?